title this morning is Spiritual Authority. There are three things, I think, that we as church members are going to have to do if we're going to live successfully with God. And they're scattered all throughout the Bible, but in three main groups, we have three responsibilities. One is to learn to exercise spiritual authority. Number two is to learn to put down Satan's authority in the earth. And number three, learn how to pass on the information to other people about the authority of God and how to praise God. So this morning, we're going to look at this subject of exercising spiritual authority and to get some insights into how that works. Before we get into the main part, though, I want to read John chapter 20 and verse 21 to 23. It's something that might open your eyes somewhat. We seem to relate our religious experiences with going to church. Most everything comes through going to church. But God is our God 24/7. And everything we do and everything we get involved with, He needs to be in control of it all. And in John chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus has already risen now, and He's coming back talking to His disciples. And He says in verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." We've read that before. I think that's a very commonly known verse. Then it says in verse 22, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So, for the first time, these men receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, "Because of what I've just done and I've just said," is the reason for the next verse, "whosoever sins ye remit or omit or forgive, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained or kept." Jesus has just given mortal men, people like you and me, the Holy Spirit and the responsibility and authority for having that Spirit. Are you aware that you could forgive sins and not forgive sins? Did you know you had that authority? Most of us, I don't think, do. I don't think we quite understand just how important our role as a child of God is. And in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18, you don't need to turn there if you don't want. We're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 10 this morning, so you may turn there. And while you're doing that, I'll read you Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. Jesus says, "I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now think about what that says for a minute. The decisions and the authority that you use down here can actually be authority in heaven. Well, you say, that kind of scares me. Well, it should. Because we're talking about some pretty important stuff here. So then why, if I have that authority, why do I don't recognize that I have it all the time? Because probably you don't. It's yours. It was given to you. The possibility is there. But we tend to get in the way of it. So if you will, turn to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that you're very familiar with. I'm sure for people who've been in church over the years, you've probably been taught and preached this passage of Scripture for a while. We won't look at it again. Maybe we can get something out of it that we hadn't got before. And that's something we need to understand. We preached this here, I know, for 3.5 years, 4 years. Number one, the most important thing to us as a Christian is God's will. That is the most important thing. Once we are a child of God, the most important thing to us should be God's will. Because the most important aspect of following God is obedience. Now, there's something real neat about obedience. Obedience is not doing right. I had to learn to teach this when I was teaching child discipline from the Bible. Children have one commandment. Obey your parents in the Lord, which is right. Obey your parents. That's the only command children have ever been given. Now, some of you know, the Bible only teaches one punishment for children, and that's spanking. 111 times it teaches to spank children. But the thing is, you can only spank children for being disobedient. And if you are going to do it right and do it godly, you're going to have to spank them every time they disobey, period. Now, think about it. I know I got spanked for being wrong. I got spanked for doing a bad thing. I also got spanked for not doing what my mama told me to do, and I got spanked for doing what she told me not to do. The last two are legitimate. The first two are not. Because you see, for me to be a child and get spanked for doing wrong, I've got to understand is what is in the mind of the spanker. What is wrong? Well, you know you shouldn't have done that. No, I didn't know I shouldn't have done that. Not in my house at any rate, because we got spanked whenever you disobeyed. And if I'd have known I wasn't supposed to do that, I wouldn't have done it. So you see, you can't just jerk up a child and spank him for doing something wrong. According to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, that's the way God thinks. So then, obedience requires a rule. Okay? The only way God spanks is not for following the directions that he has given and you've heard and you know. So it's not just a matter of doing right or doing wrong. We've said that before. There is a life that lives within us. It's called the Holy Spirit. And to be approved of by God, we have to follow what that life inside of us allows us to do, whether it's right or wrong or not. It won't ask you to do something wrong, but it will ask you not to do a lot of things that are perfectly all right. They're not wrong. They're not illegal. They're not unlawful. God just doesn't want you to do it. So, the most important thing about serving God is obedience. If he said do this, then you're to do it. If he said not to do this, then you're not to do it, and that's what you get punished for. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 35, we see a situation here where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, it says, come unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. Have you ever been in a place where you ask someone to do, will you just do whatever I ask? I pulled that on Mama several times. She said, well, I'd have to know what you want. I never did get it done. And that's what they pulled on Jesus. Would you agree? He was an honest man. They knew it. They said, would you agree to do what we want you to do? They were trying to do that end around. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? In verse 35, you see, really all they were concerned about was their way and having their way. We've got this idea that we want something. Will you do it for us? You know, in our carnality, we pray, and a lot of our prayers, that God will make things as we want them to be. That's essentially what we ask for. Would you change this so it will suit me? And that's what they did. Essentially, we want to make our wishes under God's power. So you see, we become God in this matter. See, they wanted to become God like Jesus was. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, no matter what Jesus thought about it. Right? That's the reason they asked him, would you do whatever we ask you to do? And then, like Mama, he says in the next verse, not without hearing what it is. And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. They wanted to be exalted. Out of all the other guys in the group, they wanted the number one spots. They didn't understand. They didn't know a biblical principle that has been mentioned in our scripture 18 times. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God says, you try to push yourself up, I'm going to push you down. If you won't try to push yourself up, then when the time comes, I'll raise you. But you see, in our carnality, we don't want to wait. We want to be exalted. And God has a rule that when we try to be, he's got to push us down. You want to be pushed down? You want to be humbled? You want to be embarrassed? You want to be frustrated? Try to be exalted. He's obligated to do that to you. They wanted to be near Jesus, and that's commendable. But they also wanted authority, because whoever's on the right hand and on the left hand, you can't get any higher up the pole than that. They knew that if he would grant them to be on the right and left, that the only person in heaven that would have authority over them would be he himself and the Father. Verse 38. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. You know what he said in 16th century Old English? You don't know what you're talking about. How many times do we try to put ourselves up And Jesus has to say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what trouble you're fixing to get into. It says in my Bible that Jesus learned obedience by suffering. They didn't have a clue, he says. You know not what you ask. Proclaiming the will of God is so important that anybody who realizes it's important doesn't want the job unless God puts it on them. You know it says in Scripture, let there not be many teachers, because for them there's a greater judgment, because a teacher stands in front of people and is held responsible for his word, and because of that a teacher has the greater judgment. A real teacher, a teacher who has been called by God, knows this. How many churches once a year call out for volunteers to teach? And some of them make you feel like a worm if you don't volunteer to teach. And in this matter of authority, what you're actually doing is speaking for God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but that's the scariest thing in the whole world. You think that this place up here is not scary for somebody who understands the responsibility of it? It'll scare you to death. Afraid that some little thought of yours is going to get into what God has got for you guys this morning, and I'm going to miss the deal of being able to explain what he's trying to teach. Anybody who understands the power of God and the authority that is possible with each one of us, what is it? Them whom he's called, he gave the power, the authority to be the sons of God. So if you understand that, you don't want the job. Watchman Nee says probably the worst thing that ever happened to the church was volunteers. Because people volunteer for jobs that they weren't called to do. And a lot of times they were pressured to do jobs that they weren't called to do. But they care more about the praise of men than they do the praise of God, and they go ahead and take the jobs. And it's a mess. And Jesus said unto them, ye know not what you ask. Verse 38, can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Jesus asked them, trying to educate them, do you know how I got where I am? Do you know what I had to go through to be where I am, to have the authority that I am? Do you know what you're asking for? And if you get what I've got, do you know what you're going to have to go through to get it? And they said unto him, we can. Now there is boldness. Sure we can, Lord. We can go through everything you went through. And you know there's a sense of sadness in his voice when he says, yep, you will. You will. They didn't know that. They didn't understand that. If any of you have read any of those history stories about what happened to the disciples and how one of them was boiled in oil, one of them was crucified upside down, and another had his head cut off, and all these kind of things. And he's saying, yeah, you will. You will have to go through some of the things that I went through. But you see, so many times, and like these guys right here, now think about it a minute. They weren't really concerned at this point whether God wanted them on the right hand or the left hand, either way, as long as they got it. Right? As long as they got it. Because, see, they've tried to ease their way around Jesus. Now, they've seen him do a lot of things, but they still tried it. They weren't concerned about God's will in the matter. They only wanted what they wanted. And that is our very nature, to want what we want when we want it. And they said unto him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I baptize shall ye be baptized." You remember the expression, deny yourself. If he would come after me, deny himself. That's how you get that authority. That's how you get in a position to where God will tell you what to tell somebody else. God will tell you what his will is in the matter, and then you can do it. And you can have authority. He goes before you. When you are representing him, he goes before you and makes it easy. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. Do you know what he's just told him? I don't have authority to do that. Jesus didn't have the authority. He sure didn't. Now, in another place in Matthew, it says that Jesus was given all authority on the earth. I no doubt that he did. He was. But look at this. This is not about earth. This is in heaven. This is not his business. His business is down here on earth. And they're asking about heaven. And he says, I don't have the authority to grant your wish. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. They didn't ask for whom it is it prepared. He just answered, they'll give it to whoever it's been prepared for. And I don't have the authority to grant your wish. They said up there in verse 35, would thou do for us whatever we shall desire? That was their concern, that they got what they desired. In verse 40. Verse 41. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Now, you guys know something about human nature, right? These guys were aggravated because James and John didn't want to do what God wanted done, right? They got aggravated because James and John was trying to get the seats they wanted themselves. They were sneaking in the back door trying to get Jesus to grant them those places that they wanted to be themselves. Their problem with James and John wasn't that they weren't godly and wasn't representing God. Honestly, their problem with James and John was they were jealous. The word that's used here is a word of indignation. Who did they think they were asking for that? Verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and said unto him, ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Now, what Jesus has just said is, hey, guys, look, y'all belong to me. Among the Gentiles, you know who the Gentiles are? They were the people who didn't have God. They were the unsaved. Among the Gentiles, the rulers exercise authority over them. They boss each other around. We'll call it the Gentile spirit. The whole Gentile plan of things is to get as much as you can get be as big as you can be, have more authority than anybody else, and that is the drive that the world operates on right out there. To be all you can be, to have all you can have, and to have all the authority to be the boss. And he said, that's the way they act. And that's what motivates them, and that's what drives them. And they don't understand that when they do this, God leads them. Have you ever been in a place to where in a spiritual matter, something that God was in charge of, you thought it needed to be done this way or that way, and you didn't know God's will in the matter, it was just that you thought it needed to be this way. And then when nobody agreed, you get frustrated now. I've been there. I've been there a lot. But you see, I was like James and John. I want my way. Not concerned about God's way. I want my way. Jesus committed himself, it says in my Bible, that when he came in the flesh as a man, that he would not do his will, but the will of the Father. We've read that. We've read that over and over. Even in the garden, after he had been here 3 years, completed all the things that God had had for him to, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was more concerned about doing the will of the Father. Now, we have a tendency to make our decisions based on our experience, based on our talents, based on our opinions, based on reason. We reason a lot of stuff, just like Philip did when Jesus said we got 5,000 men and the women and children, and they got to be fed. How are we going to feed them? They've been here a long time, and they must be hungry. And I love Philip and what he said, because I can associate with Philip. He said, Lord, it'll take 8 months' wages to feed all these people up here. Now think a minute. You people who work in the business world, this guy figured out estimated how many people were there, how much it would take to feed them, how much that food would cost, divided it by a day's wages, and figured out how many months it would take of wages to feed that group of people. And he did it fairly quick, apparently. Must have been real good in the head. And that's the way we do things. Well, Lord, he said, where are we going to get the money to do this? And the God says, is there any food around? He said, yeah, little boy, got some fishes. And Jesus took the fishes and the loaves and fed all those people. Now see, Jesus did things the way spiritual authority is done. And Philip was going to do things the way we do things down here. And there was a difference right there. The greatest proof in the whole world that Jesus is not limited to the way we do things. He's got another way to do it. And we can't figure out how he's going to do things based on our reasoning because we don't know his ways. It says in Jeremiah, we don't have it in ourselves to direct our own path. So in spiritual matters, we just don't know. We have to understand, in exercising spiritual authority, essentially what that means is we're speaking for God. We're down here speaking for God. And we got to learn how to do that. And the thing that I had to come to begin to get an idea about it is that what I think is not that important. It's really not. If I can figure out what God wants, then God will make it easy. If we can figure out as a church what God wants out there, God will pay for it. And it becomes a lot easier. When we try to get our way, when I try to get my way in something, I'm rebelling against what God's will is, and he turns and walks the other way. and then I'm on my own. And that's not a good place to be. Anybody who argues, anybody who tries to politic or leverage, anybody who tries to bully, is obvious that God's not behind it. Because I feel that I've got to in order to get my way. And God always sends His authority ahead of His will. Now, something else, if you think about it this way, and this thing hit me one time when I first got wind of it. If I'm competing with God, is He going to equip me to compete with Him? And the answer is no. No. He's not going to compete. He's not going to equip His enemy. He's going to equip the person who is doing what He wants done. When you pick up the sword, the battle is yours. It's not God's. So God pulls Himself away and His Holy Spirit away from anybody who is speaking for himself. So if we're going to learn to exercise spiritual authority, the very first thing we have to do is to figure out what God's will is in a matter. And then it becomes real easy. In 1 John, you don't have to turn there. It's a short little verse, and I'll read it. 1 John 4:15-17. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now that makes a description. So verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now listen to that. As He is, so are we in this world. Now Jesus came down, lived as a man in mortal flesh as we do, and from start to finish, was approved of by God. Not many of us can, well, none of us can handle that, mainly because of the old sin nature. It's something you grow into and learn. Because in 1 Corinthians 1:29, it says that no flesh should glory in God's presence. No flesh should glory in God's presence. That's competition. That is the reason it said is because God always picks the little guys to use for Himself. Because the guys who have something tend to want to steal some of the glory. So He says because of that, He doesn't use many rich, He doesn't use many noble. He uses the baser sort. And I looked that up, and it says a man of no breeding. So to exercise spiritual authority, to have authority on this earth, is to represent God. That's what it amounts to. And to represent God, like Jesus told James and John, you got to be baptized with the same baptism He had, and to drink of the same cup He had. And that comes down to what we've taught for years is denying ourselves. When we deny ourselves and do for God, then God backs up what we're doing. So, as a church, to learn to exercise spiritual authority is to speak for God and say what God would have said if He'd have been here. Now, there's something we need to understand. God, part of the reason that God created mankind was so that God might be able to rule the earth through the men that He created and the women that He created. He intended to do that. But you see, it wasn't long. I mean, He put Adam and Eve in dominion over the earth, it says. But they didn't stay that way very long because they sinned. And when they sinned, God had to turn his back on them and walk off. Then all those years passed. And he's got everybody trying to get them to come to the place to where they can rule over the world again. And then here comes Jesus, the only one that ever measured up to what God wanted in order to have someone who could speak for him. And if you know, if you studied the letters that Jesus constantly talks about speaking for God and God speaking for him, through him. So then, now our place is, as he was, we are to be. So now we have a chance to come back and get control over the world that is around us by as much, and we can do that as much as we can by being more and more like Jesus Christ. Going through what he went through and still holding tight to God the Father. So one of the things that to be a successful church we have to learn to do is to exercise spiritual authority. And to do that, we have to keep our authority out of competition with God's authority. Find out what he wants to do and say that's what we need to do. But wait a minute. What if I don't know God's will in this matter? Then I really don't have a say in this. Because everything that in my life as a Christian that I have to make decisions on, God should be in there, letting his will be known in my life. Is there anything too small for that? No, not really, I don't think. Especially if we have the attitude that we need to be obedient to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let's pray. Father, make us understand what you're teaching us over and over and over. That it's got to be all about you and not about us. Teach us, Lord, to pray for your will in every matter. To make us want to be holy as you are holy, so that we'll be in a relationship with you where you can give us your revelation and we can take and use it for you. Lord, we thank you today for this group of people. We ask that you bless each and every one, that they may abide in you and your words may abide in them this week. That they might take your word and put it in their heart and let it guide them all week long. Thank you, Lord, for this place, for what you're doing here, and for allowing us to be a part of it. Thank you again, Lord, for Jesus, in whose name we pray.